Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are running a bit of a simulation.
A thought experiment.
Exactly. We're taking two entities that exist on, completely opposite ends of the media world and just smashing them together, see what happens.
It is a bit of a Frankenstein experiment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But a potentially profitable one.
Definitely. So in one corner, we have what is, the gold standard of human creativity and education. Kilby.
Right. Anyone who's picked up a camera knows the name.
Scott Kilby. That whole team. It's all about high touch, personality driven, expert instruction.
It's the brand you go to when you want to, as they say, skip 5 years of struggle. It's very, very human.
Right. And in the other corner, we have, a machine. It's called Auto Content API.
Mm.
And looking at the documentation you brought in, this is not some, cute app for making funny avatars. They call themselves an industrial engine for automated media.
And industrial is absolutely the right word. This is infrastructure. It's meant to run in the background, just churning out content at a scale humans physically cannot match.
So that brings us to our mission for today. We're asking a really specific question.
Okay.
How can a company like Kilby, which is sitting on this mountain of amazing human-made video, use this headless automation to just completely dominate the attention economy?
And is it just about speed, or is it something more fundamental?
That's the question.
I think it's a change in physics, really. And to get why, we have to talk about this concept from the source material, content saturation.
Okay.
The Auto Content white papers make a very aggressive point here. They argue that the barrier to growth today is no longer distribution.
Which makes sense. YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, their shelf space is infinite, right? You can upload 10,000 videos a day. They won't stop you.
But who can make 10,000 videos a day? That's the bottleneck. It's production capacity.
Yeah.
If you operate on what I'd call linear logic, one person, one camera, 1 hour of work equals one video. You will lose. You just cannot keep up.
And that's where this whole idea gets really interesting, because Kilby isn't starting from scratch. They're what you call the sleeping giant.
They really are. We looked at their asset library, and it's staggering.
It's massive. We're talking over 1,000 courses.
Yeah.
And not like little fluff pieces. These are deep. Fashion studio lighting, food photography.
Landscape composition. Mm-hmm. I saw one on the art of black and white post-processing.
I saw one called Creating Vert-O-Ramas. I didn't even know what a Vert-O-Rama was.
Exactly. It's niche, and it's incredibly valuable. But here's the problem. Where does all that value currently live?
It's behind a login screen. It's trapped inside a video player on their website.
Which means, to the rest of the internet, it's basically dark matter. It's invisible. In marketing, there's this idea of mental availability. You need to touch your customer's brain multiple times a day.
Yeah.
If your best content is locked in a 45-minute video, you're not there on their commute or their lunch break scroll.
Or when they're in line at the grocery store checking X.
You're stuck in desktop mode in a mobile-first world. They have the fuel, but not the engine.
So this is where the API comes in.
This is where it comes in. The documentation talks about an input layer designed for, and this is their term, universal ingestion.
Universal ingestion sounds a bit medical, but I'm guessing that means it can read anything.
Pretty much. It's not just text. It can take URLs, PDFs, and this is the key for Kilby existing video files.
So it watches the video.
It watches the video. It listens to the audio. It understands the context. And then it sends all that data to a transformation engine.
Okay, wait, hold on. This is the aha moment for me.
Go on.
Usually when you think about growth, you think, we need new ideas, we need more instructors, we need to fly to Iceland for a new course.
Right, the instinct is always create more raw material.
But you're saying they don't need new ideas. They can just take that old Vert-O-Rama's course, feed it to the machine, and say, turn this into something else.
That is the absolute core shift. Decoupling ideation from production.
Yeah.
You've already done the hard work of being an expert. Now let the machine handle the formatting.
So where do they start?
The first and maybe most obvious place is audio.
Let's talk about that, the commuter use case. Because, photography is visual. Why would a photographer want audio?
Think about their lifestyle. They're driving to a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. They're stuck in traffic on the way to a wedding. They want to learn, but they can't exactly watch a tutorial on Photoshop selections while they're on the highway.
Well, I could, but it would probably end badly.
Exactly. So they're a captive audience for audio. Now, normally, making a podcast is a whole thing. Studio, hosts, editing.
It's a heavy lift.
A very heavy lift. But the Auto Content sources mentioned something that really stood out to me. The Notebook LM gap.
Oh, I've used Notebook LM. That's the Google tool, right? You upload a PDF and two AIs chat about it. It's surprisingly good.
It's good, but it's a consumer toy. It's manual. There's no API. Auto Content positions itself as the enterprise version of that. It lets you create these audio overviews programmatically.
Programmatically, meaning no one's pushing a button.
Meaning you set it and forget it. Imagine, a new course on mobile photography drops. The API automatically grabs the transcript, finds the key points, and then prep.
What?
It converts it into a dynamic two-voice banter podcast.
Like a radio show.
Exactly like a radio show.
Uh-huh.
Not a robot reading a script, but two AIs discussing the ideas, making it easy to listen to. They could instantly launch a Lightroom Daily podcast.
That's wild. But what about the voices? Kelby One's brand is their instructors. It's Scott Kelby's voice.
And that's a huge lever for them. The API has an endpoint for authorized voice cloning.
So digital Scott.
In a sense. They could, with permission, clone his voice. Scott records the main course one time. The API then remixes that knowledge into daily audio tips and his familiar voice without him ever stepping in a booth again.
So he's on vacation, but the Scott brand is still delivering value every single morning on Spotify.
And the scale is just nuts. The documents say it can generate 100 episodes a day. A human team struggles to do one a week.
It's the difference between a boutique shop and a factory.
A very smart factory.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit. We've talked formats, but what about audiences? The Kelby One site, and this isn't a knock, it's just a fact, it's very English-centric.
That is the single biggest dormant opportunity they have. The API supports over 50 languages.
Okay, walk me through that. Because, I mean, Google Translate has been around for ages.
This is way beyond just text translation.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that Verdoramas course. Right now, it only makes money from English speakers.
Sure.
With the API, they transcribe it, translate the meaning, and then, this is the magic part, resynthesize the audio.
So it generates a new voice, a German voice, say, discussing Verdoramas.
A native-sounding German audio track. Or Spanish.
Yeah.
Or Japanese. You're not just adding subtitles. You're creating a completely native media asset.
Wow.
And the economic impact of that is what the sources call multiplying the TAM, the total addressable market.
Overnight, you're not just selling to the U.S. and the U.K. You're selling to Brazil, Japan, Germany.
Without opening a Kelby One Tokyo office.
Yeah.
Without hiring a single translator. The only overhead is the API cost. You could launch Kelby One Japan on a Tuesday.
That is, well, it's incredibly efficient. It's what you'd call zero marginal cost expansion.
It completely disrupts the traditional model of globalization.
Speaking of cost models, let's pivot to what every creator is stressing about. Vertical video.
The short form imperative. TikTok, Reels, Shorts. It's the new battlefield for attention. If you want new members paying that $19.99 a month, you have to catch them scrolling.
But video is so expensive. Manual production for, what, a decent reel can be $50, $100, even $300?
If you're lucky, yeah.
So if you need to post three times a day to please the algorithm, that math gets ugly really fast.
It's just not sustainable. But look at the cost arbitrage the API offers. A short video costs about 400 credits. On their business plan, that's roughly €4.
€4 versus maybe $300? That's a 98% discount.
It's basically free in comparison. And that changes the strategy. When a video costs $300, you're precious about it. You hold meetings.
You're afraid to fail because failure's expensive.
Exactly. When it's €4, you flood the zone. You test hundreds of ideas. The documentation calls it the faceless channel strategy.
How does that work mechanically?
It's clever. It can generate a video from scratch. It can take one paragraph from a blog post about Photoshop selections.
Okay.
And generate a full 60-second vertical video. It adds an AI avatar. It handles the lip sync. It adds the dynamic subtitles. All of it.
I did see AI avatars in the features list.
Yep. So you don't need a camera crew or lights. And there's another feature called visual intelligence. The API can analyze images.
How would Kelby One use that?
They have a huge community, right? People
yeah.
posting photos. They could take a photo of the day from their forum, feed that image to the API, and have it auto-generate a video critiquing the composition.
So the AI sees the rule of thirds is off and makes a video explaining it.
In seconds. That's incredible engagement. It's personalized.
There was one more video type you mentioned, explainer videos. This feels a bit different. This is for their website, right?
Yes, this is a pure conversion play. Embedding video on a page increases dwell time, which is a huge Google ranking factor.
Right.
The API can crawl all 1,000 of their course landing pages and auto-generate a 60-second summary video for each one.
So I search a best photography course, I land on a Kelby One page, I watch the video instead of just scrolling text, Google sees I'm staying longer and ranks them higher.
That's the whole strategy. It's SEO powered by video automation.
Okay, so we've covered repurposing old stuff, but the sources also mention something called deep research. This sounds like it's for creating brand new content.
This is where it gets really intelligent. The deep research endpoint isn't like ChatGPT. It actually uses agents to browse the live web, cross-reference sources, and synthesize findings.
How does a photography school use that?
Think about newsjacking.
Okay, explain newsjacking for everyone.
It's about injecting your brand into breaking news. So let's say Adobe drops a huge update for Creative Cloud, or a new Canon camera is announced.
Right. Normally, that's a scramble. Someone has to read the press release, write a script, get in the studio. By the time it's out, it's 2 days old.
And being 2 days late is the same as being invisible. With the API, you set a trigger. The system detects the Adobe update.
And then?
The deep research agent reads the specs, compares them to the old version, drafts a What's New in Photoshop script, generates a podcast, and creates a video short. All automatically.
So they could be the first source of information on the web.
Within minutes of the news breaking. That builds massive authority. And it also integrates with social listening on places like Reddit and X.
Oh, that's cool. So if photographers on Reddit are all complaining about some new menu setting.
The API spots that trend. User pain point detected. It can then auto-generate a how to fix this guide or video. You're solving problems in real time.
It's like having a team of 20 researchers working 24/7, but it's just .code.
It's a reaction loop. Trigger, research, production, distribution. No humans required.
So let's talk about the nuts and bolts. Because this level of automation sounds complex, but the documentation stresses this is API first and headless. What does headless mean for non-tech people?
Sure. Think of normal software, like a body with a head. The head is the screen, the dashboard you log into.
The part I click on.
Exactly. Headless just means you chop that off. It's only the engine. It just runs in the background. You connect it to your other systems, like your website, using code.
Or things like Zapier or Make.com, right? The no-code tools.
Yes. And they mentioned a WordPress integration, which is huge, since, 43% of the web runs on WordPress.
So it creates the blog post, makes the video, fills in all the SEO stuff, and then it just publishes it directly to the Kelby One site.
It injects it right in. It's invisible labor. It just happens.
Okay, the financials. I hear industrial engine. I start clutching my wallet.
We broke it down. A Kelby One membership is $19.99 a month. The auto content business plan is 108 euros a month.
108 euros. That's what, maybe 2 hours of a decent freelancer's time? Less?
Way less for a video editor. For that price, Kelby One could generate a month's worth of daily content. The source makes a great point here. It turns content from an operating expense into a scalable tech investment.
The ROI is just math at that point. If one Euro video brings in one new member for a year, that's $240. You've paid for the API subscription twice over with one conversion.
Precisely. And this opens up what they call the long tail strategy.
Meaning?
Well, manually, you can only afford to make content for big topics, like portrait photography. You can't spend $500 making a video that only 100 people will watch.
Like underwater macro photography in murky water.
Or fixing lens distortion on a 1990s fisheye.
The super niche stuff. But if production only costs you 4 euros, you can make that video. You can dominate thousands of specific search terms your competitors are ignoring.
That feels like the killer application. It's not just doing what you already do, but faster. It's doing things you couldn't afford to do before.
It expands the entire map of what's possible for them.
So let's bring this all home. We started with this thought experiment. How can Kelby One use this to dominate?
And the vision is pretty clear. Kelby One transforms. It stops being just a static library you have to log in to see. It becomes a dynamic, multilingual, multi-format media network. It's everywhere. It's a podcast in your ear during your commute. It's a vertical video on your TikTok feed. It's an instant update when a new camera drops. And it's in Japanese and Spanish.
All driven by assets they already own, processed by an engine that never sleeps. It solves that content saturation problem by just outproducing the bottleneck.
It's a fascinating glimpse into where media companies are headed. But I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought on this. We've focused on Kelby One, but this tech isn't exclusive to them. It's available to anyone.
That's the really disruptive part. The barrier to entry has just collapsed.
So if a tool exists right now that can clone your expertise, translate it into 50 languages, and broadcast it 247 for pennies, is your competition already using it?
And if they are.
And you're still trying to grind it out with manual creation?
Yeah.
Does working hard even matter anymore?
That is the question of the decade, isn't it?
Something to think about. Thanks for diving in with us. We'll see you on the next one.